Hi, and welcome to the Green Bridge podcast, where we have a mission of empowering tomorrow by supporting the founders of generationally disruptive companies. My name is Cecilia Rowland. I am an analyst here at Green Bridge. And for this podcast series, I also have the pleasure of being your host. So you're going to hear from me about every quarter. And we will be doing series where we sit down and discuss either with a team member here at Green Bridge or with one of the founders of our holding companies, which are disrupting the industry as we know it. And for this first episode, I sit down together with the chairman and founder of Green Bridge, Ola Rowland. And we discuss where he sees the world moving in the next 5 years or so, and how these companies are adding to that change. So we truly hope that you enjoy this series, and we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on X at greenbridge_LU. Or on LinkedIn as Greenbridge. But now, without further ado, let's hear from Ola. All right, so we are here on this first podcast episode. So maybe let's talk a little bit about one Greenbridge, who we are, and why are we doing this podcast?
Well, Greenbridge was incepted in 2016, and it was founded by me and Melke Schörling, who ran a very successful business called MSAB. And at the time, I was CEO of Hexagon. And our mission is really to support great founders that strive to disrupt the present for a greater future.
That's a great mission to have. And why are we doing this podcast, aside from me being able to sit down and talk to you?
No, I think this is the first introduction to Greenbridge, and then we're going to have several chapters or episodes of this podcast. It's going to be a quarterly podcast. We're going to interview these amazing founders, and they're going to talk about their businesses and the potential they see. And I think it's going to be educational, both from a financial point of view, but also understanding society and where technology is heading.
Mm. So going back to what you said, supporting the founders of generationally disruptive companies, what does this mean to you, and how are we doing that here at Greenbridge?
You know, you can go back in time to, let's say, the 1800s. If you were born in 1850 and you lived for 100 years, you would have seen an awful lot of generationally disruptive technologies like the telegraph, the telephone, the aeroplane, railroads, and so on. So that was a truly amazing period, era in mankind. And I believe that we are standing in a similar leap, where we're going to see extraordinary development. And we try to seek out the companies that are going to lead that development and really do a generational leap in technology, so that society is going to look very different once they're done.
Mm, and we'll dive deeper into these companies in a second, but what are some things that you're seeing in the world today, and where do you see the world kind of moving in the next, let's say, 5 years?
Well, right now, we see data everywhere. So we're collecting data. But what's the purpose? Well, the purpose is to create what we call actionable information, that you can actually use the data you collect to bring a new feature or a new functionality in society. And once you're being able to transform the data into information, if you connect that with robotics, if you connect that with AI, I mean, it's an amazing future that we have ahead of us, where we're going to change everything from how we design products, how we produce products, how we distribute products, and even how we consume products and services. And I think the silver lining is that humans are going to have more time than ever to do the things we like. And tedious, monotonous tasks are going to be extinct. They're going to be dealt with by robots. And we're going to have time to use our creativity. And when you move into that, some things will change. For example, one size fits all is not going to work anymore. You're going to have much more functionality and features and design changes in products. Economies of scale are slowly dying. It's not necessarily so that the biggest company will survive in the future. It's probably the fastest company that will survive. So design is going to be more important than ever, regardless if you talk about software or hardware. And consumers, as you know, we've already seen the trend. We don't want to buy anymore. We want to subscribe. So you don't want this long-term commitment. You want to be able to go on and off. And obviously, the overriding challenge for all of us is that the environmental crisis won't go away. It's here to stay, and we have to deal with it. And generationally, disruptive companies are the companies that are going to thrive in this environment.
So I think that's obviously a great lead-in then to introducing our portfolio. And speaking of design, I guess if we dive straight in with Divergent and Singer, who are two, well, connected companies, but very, very great examples of exactly how you can do that in a very disruptive manner to the traditional automotive industry. So if you would like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about these two companies, what makes them so exciting in your eyes, and also speak about Kevin and Lucas Singer, the founders.
So it's a great story with father and son Singer running both Divergent, that is the production company, and Singer Vehicles, that is an auto manufacturer making hypercars. And they are truly brilliant, and they've invented a process where you start with design, and you design a car or a plane or a metallic structure very differently to what you do today. So you optimize the product from the outset, not through process improvements, but through the original design. And when I say optimize, I mean reduce the weight, for example, of a plane or a car or whatever it might be. And then you move on to 3D printing, and now it's prepared for utilizing the benefits of 3D printing. So you print the entire product, and then you have a robotic assembly cell without human intervention that assembles the product that you've designed using glue. So no fasteners, no nuts and so on, just gluing things together. And then you have the finished product, which might be a chassis or a fuselage or a very important structure.
And how is this so different from what's currently happening in the automotive industry with production? How does this save, for example, material, or how does it change everything?
No, it changed everything, because today when you design a car, you need to invest a couple of billion dollars before you have your first vehicle. Here you can try concepts. You can make one or two cars and see how they sell or whatever you want to do. If you want to change, you can change it with an instant. And there are no lead times. You collapse the supply chain, and the cost is roughly the same as the current methodology, but you can make bespoke products. So you can target whatever market segment you want. And this will transform, for example, the auto industry into more of a fashion industry, where you make limited series, limited editions, what you see in the fashion industry today. And on that note, we really come to Singer Vehicles, which is a subsidiary of Divergent that has made one car so far called the 21C, which is a hypercar, super fast hybrid, very energy efficient, very fast. It's broken a lot of records on American racetracks. And I guess it started as an idea how to convince your customer base that your new production philosophy actually worked. And the best way of doing that is to to make a car.
So Singer cars, I mean, aside from being a stunning car, tell us a little bit more about them.
No, I think it's a startup automotive brand. They try to hit the very, very upper end of the auto market. The 21C is priced at $2.5 million plus. So they're only going to make 80 21Zs. And then that's truly a limited edition. And it proves this point that you can make cars without having economies of scale, using the divergent philosophy.
And I think a great example of that is that's been shared with you is how they modified their cars throughout. So they go and they test the car, and then they go back to the production plan and they change it, which is something that you can't do with the current manufacturing standards.
No, absolutely not. So they were trying to break this track record, and they realized through simulation that they needed to extend the back 2 centimeters. So they took the car off the track, they printed a new part, and they extended the back of the car, and then they broke the record. And that just proves the case.
And I think we didn't touch on it that much, but one thing that does make Divergent and therefore Singer so amazing with is this addition of additive manufacturing, so 3D printing, which is becoming more of a norm, but maybe more for smaller parts within automotive industry. But they have really taken that and made it something completely different.
They have. They've developed their own technology, and they can print much faster than anybody else. And that improves the capacity of the printers so that you become relevant for large-scale manufacturing.
And they are also using AI before AI became such a big hype as it is right now. But it's a very, very exciting company, I think. But maybe leading on from that then with this lead of AI, should we move on to Neo4j, which might be one of the more complicated companies to explain in our portfolio? But in your words, how would you explain?
I mean, Neo4j is a database company. They make a database called Neo4j, which is a graph database, so it has nodes and connections. And if you think about Excel would be your traditional structure of a database with all these rows and columns where you store data. Now, Neo4j, I guess the best example is Facebook, where you could click on your name, and then it's almost like a web with connections where you see your friends immediately. And if you click on your friend's name, you see his or her friends and so on. You see all the connections between various data points. And you can draw conclusions that you couldn't normally in a normally structured database. And this company was a startup back in the early 2000s. It was founded by Emil Ehrström in Sweden. He moved subsequently to Silicon Valley, and it grew. And today it's the world leader in graph database technologies.
So what are some examples where you gave the example of Facebook and as an example to explain their technology, but what are some ways that they have been used to revolutionize their industries?
I think when it comes to customer recommendations, for example, on websites and so on, they are second to none. They are really good. But one case that many people have heard of is the so-called Panama Papers, where two journalists got, I think it was millions of documents from a bank, no, from a law firm in Panama. And there was no way to create an overview what these documents contained. So they ran them through the Neo4j database. And that's how they, for example, found that the Icelandic prime minister had a bank account in a tax haven and so on. So they connected the dots, you could say. And it's a great analytical tool. And now, when we're on the verge of this AI revolution, Neo4j is probably going to be crucial to structure the data so that you avoid hallucinations in what's called today large language models, which would be ChatGPT and so forth.
Yeah, and they are working with Google and other big companies to help this. And
yeah.
So, but clearly a very disruptive company if you take that example of the Panama Papers. Yeah. And Emil is a fantastic founder. He is very passionate about this. So how did you get in contact with him?
We were looking at new technologies. This is probably 2014, 15. And we came across Emil and we had a few meetings with him. We had just started Greenbridge. And after a couple of meetings, we decided to invest. And I'm very, very happy that we did.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's then move onwards to another N company, NS Tech.
Yeah.
With Vasco, which, as you mentioned earlier, Greenbridge is a co-founder of.
Mm.
So how did that come to be?
Now, we bought a small company, software company in Brazil that was active in the transportation sector. And eventually we met with NS Tech and we both wanted to rule the world of logistics. So we decided instead of fighting each other, let's merge. And thus NS Tech was created. And what is NS Tech? First of all, you need to look at South America. South America is one of the continents that did not invest much in rail. So almost all land-based transportation is done by trucks, lorries, and buses. And you got a huge network of transportation flows all across South America, and especially Brazil, which is the largest country in South America. And NS Tech's purpose is to connect drivers, forwarders, buyers of freight, with insurance companies, with services along the route, doing route planning, prepay for fuel and restaurants, doing micro transactions and so on. And in Brazil, there are 2.8 million drivers, so professional drivers today. More than 2 million have downloaded our app.
Yeah, so they call it their super app, which it clearly is. And we've both seen this picture that they show where it shows the logistics of actually trying to plan a freight transportation, whereas arrows going absolutely everywhere. So NS Tech is definitely simplifying that, which is something that I think most people wouldn't look at, but it's a very great example of how they are also disrupting something that most people wouldn't have looked at.
Absolutely. And the first step is Brazil, and I think we are the clear leader in Brazil now, and now we're aiming at South America. Then we're going to look at North America and then the world.
Yeah, so slowly, slowly taking over one road at a time.
Correct.
Yes. And so, okay, so these are very, very exciting companies. We're very proud of them. I guess we can maybe want to explain, we have a very small portfolio, and this is also part of our strategy. So, and why is that?
Well, our strategy is long term, and we want to be active with a few investments. So we've set the maximum to 6. So if we got 4 right now, we could add another 2 companies, and I believe that's going to happen in the near term. And we want to be the largest shareholder together with management, and we really want to be hands-on. We think the big difference succeeding in investments is focus. You can't be good at everything, so you need to focus on a few crucial industries, and that's what we're doing. But on the other hand, we're hands-on, we love solving problems, mundane problems, with our management teams, really becoming, well, getting down and get dirt under our nails, so to say, and super operational. And with my experience and some other on the team, we're one of the few people that have lived through the journey where you start with a very, very small company and you grow it into a globally leading organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think that's something that all of these founders truly value from us as well. How do all of these companies tie in with, if we go back to what you were speaking about in the beginning, we've touched upon it, but how do they all tie into this vision of where you think the world is moving?
They're all disruptionally, generationally disruptional companies of their industries. So Neo4j is going to change the database market. NSTech is going to change traffic volumes in Brazil that are set to grow. And Divergent is going to change the manufacturing industry for the future. Singer hopefully will change the way we look at sports cars, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what is something that you're excited about for the next year now then, if we're moving forward, whether with Greenbridge or just in general, where you see the world moving?
I'm generally super excited about all these companies' prospects going forward. I think we've waited for a long time to get to the position we're at right now. And now I think it's starting to happen. It's like the ketchup, the famous ketchup effect that you shake for an awful long time. And eventually you start seeing them pulling things together. And I think that's the inflection point we're at right now. And it just happens to coincide with what we see in society at large.
Absolutely. Well, this has been very insightful, and I hope our listeners are finding that too. Definitely looking forward to, in the future, we're going to sit down with the founders of these companies and get to hear their story. But thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.